Welcome to Press Start Pirate Radio. This is David Hampton. Joining me this week is Chad Claus, one of our most active listeners and the guy who currently holds the record for emailing the show the most often. We'll start you off with some music. Well, good morning, Internet. This is Press Start's Pirate Radio Edition. What that basically means is... Well, first it means I'm too close to the mic. What that means is we're not recording live, broadcasting through KCPR like we normally do. This is me going out on the scene, if you will, meeting with some of our listeners, some of the people who listen to us and who play games, and really the audience of the show, and setting that out to our podcast station, giving you kind of a short, special edition version of Press Start. This week I'm with Chad Claus. Chad is one of our regular listeners. How's it going, Chad?
It's going pretty good, Dave. How about you?
I'm actually doing pretty well. I slept in, probably farther than I should have, but I'm doing all right.
Well, it's to be expected. Graduated college. What else are you going to do?
That's true. I have graduated from Cal Poly since the last time anybody heard from me, which makes me all kinds of happy. Which gives me more time to play video games, so I'm hoping that I can actually have intelligent reviews on this show as opposed to just making fun of whatever it is Justin's talking about. So, this show kind of isn't really a news show so much as it is a talk show, and I'm curious, Chad, what sorts of things are you playing these days?
I'm not too sure. I'm playing a bunch of RPG right now, PS2. I got Dragon Quest, so I'm playing that for a bit.
Oh, Dragon Quest 8?
Yeah, Dragon Quest 8.
Good.
So it's pretty fun. I like it.
Far along in it, or?
Not a whole lot. Just a few hours into it right now, so.
Good deal. I understand that game's supposed to stay pretty good all the way through.
Yeah. My brother finished it recently, so it's about an 80-hour game.
80 hours?
80 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty much. That's without side quests. Straight through the game, 80 hours.
Wow.
About like 77, something like that. That's what you got?
I know the Japanese RPGs are famous for being long, but that's crazy.
Pretty long, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well... Anything else you guys are up to?
Not a whole lot, really.
Okay. I saw you playing Guitar Hero last night, because I was playing it with you.
Yes, Guitar Hero is a fun game. I like that game a lot. I
cannot wait until it comes out on the 360.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All the additional songs you could add through downloads.
So, I was talking with your brother last night, too. It sounds like you and your brother and I are all going to buy Guitar Hero for the 360, even though two of us already have it for the PS2.
So, what's wrong with that?
We earn our nerd points. So, first up this week is... We were talking about Wii demo stations earlier. And you played... What was it?
Excite Truck and Elebits are the two I've played.
Okay, that's right. And the Excite Truck demo, I think pretty much anybody who's played a demo station has played that one. But you brought up an interesting point with the Elebits thing.
Yeah, I went to GameStop to play... to go in there and see what they had. And they had the demo station. And I asked them if I could play, so they handed me the remote, but I didn't get a nunchuck with it. So I couldn't move around or anything, I could just spin around in place. which is not a very good idea if you've played the game. So you kind of can't do a whole lot.
And Elbitz is kind of a game that whose main draw is knocking stuff over and running around and shooting stuff.
Yes.
So, I mean, it cuts out half that formula. Yeah, you can knock stuff over in one place.
Yeah.
But, I mean, did it give you a good feel for the game? Did it make you want to buy it?
I'm not sure, really.
Yeah, that makes me feel like the old shareware games on PC, where they'd give you a level or two, or some of the weapons, not all of them, and they want you to buy the full version to get the full experience.
Like a teaser.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, the Elbitz station, could it have that effect, or could it just make you not want to play the game, because it seems like you don't get it?
I'm not too sure. It's, just, they probably don't have a whole lot of nunchucks that they can give for, like, the demo stations. I don't know, but it's the only thing I can think of.
You know, that's a good point.
They could just have the remotes.
Because all of us looking for nunchucks a while ago were just saying, wow, I want.
I heard there was like a shortage or something on nunchuck pieces. Or?
There was. People, those things were selling for more than the games were.
Jeez.
eBay. Which brings all of our greed and deadly sins into one place. Oh, eBay. Well, so let's compare that to the PS3 demo stations, because I know we both played those. The PS3 stations have MotorStorm going right now.
Yeah, it's the one I played. There's a few things in the menu for the demo station, but I don't remember if they're all games or videos. I just went to the MotorStorm because I saw somebody else playing it. And when I watched this other guy playing it, I noticed there's a significant frame rate issue where I was looking at the timekeeper and it was just going slower than normally.
Like the actual game clock? The, how many seconds you are?
Yeah, it was slow. For a few seconds, it was slow.
I didn't even realize that. I knew the game would occasionally drop frames, but...
Right. I mean, wow. I didn't notice when I played, but when I watched somebody else play, it's pretty noticeable.
Mm.
So I don't know how often that happens, but it happens sometimes.
So what did that make you think about their game, though?
Hopefully they can improve on later games in the future.
I mean,
get that worked out.
Do you think the PS3 is going to be a system that works out, or do you think it's going to be plagued with these problems for too long?
It might work out eventually, after people get a feel for it. I mean, if you look at the Xbox 360, it had frame rate issues in the beginning. Most of that's been worked out.
That's true.
So.
See, I always have to... I need to ask questions like that, because, I mean, it's no secret that I'm not a huge fan of Sony. So, I need folks like you to keep me in line. So. Well, that's good. Okay, so...
Yeah, never try to look at just the launch and expect that to be the whole generation of the system, the whole lifespan of the system.
That's true.
So...
Yeah, actually, the DS had a terrible launch by many people's standards, just not a whole lot of good games. The system was great.
Yeah.
We all had GBA games to play.
Good old GBA.
But yeah, now it's the king of the handhelds, the PSPs, trying to... They just don't have a killer app. And I'm, you know, again, trying not to bash Sony. There's just honestly no game I really want to play on the PSP.
The only game that I've seen that looks interesting on the PSP is LocoRoco.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't played anything for it, so... I wouldn't know.
That game looked really fun. Although, you know what's weird? Because it's cute, it's inventive, it's nifty. It tanked in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that.
Well, so... Okay, so the two demo stations are out. If anybody out there wants to try them out, see what it is we're talking about, just head out to, you know, whatever store it is. I realize we're basically giving free advertising, but, I mean, we certainly don't have them in our houses.
Hey, we're going between the two, so we're not favoring one.
Yeah, that's true. Not favoring one, even though I and everybody in your family owns a 360.
Yes.
So let's admit our bias right here. Well, so Games Are Fun mentioned a couple of news articles this week, which I am currently looking for. Here we go. There were three new games released for the Nintendo Virtual Console, Gradius on the NES, Dungeon Explorer on the TG-16, and Soldier Blade, also for the TG-16. Ever played any of these?
No, I haven't.
I played Gradius, that's about it. Soldier Blade, I understand, is kind of like Gradius. It's a shooter of some sort, kind of like Superstar Soldier, released at launch, which I bought and loathe. Dungeon Explorer is apparently kind of like Might and Magic, but it's multiplayer.
Hmm.
So it's a, you know, big dungeon crawl. Supposed to be pretty good. That's all for the Virtual Console. Final Fantasy Tactics has been announced for the PSP, and imagery has been released from it. This came out, 5 or 6 days ago. Interestingly... in one of the comments on this article, somebody commented, and I cannot verify this, but I thought it was worth mentioning, that Sony requires, when you port a game to their portable, and possibly to their PS3, that you include new content. Only for ports.
I don't really like that, because it's just... why add to stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, in my opinion, to have to make people add things to their games that they made. Like, the first time, they made it fine, then they're forced to add stuff to port it to this other system. What's the point?
Yeah, that is true. On the other hand, wouldn't it be that you could get the same game but more? You don't think that mentality would pervade?
But, I mean, if people are getting it for the PSP, sometimes they want it so that they have it on handheld anyway. That could be why they get another copy of it for the handheld.
Okay.
So they can have it portable.
So people that already have one copy of it, you don't think would want the extra stuff?
Some might not. I'm sure some would like it, but never know.
Okay. See, it's interesting that I'm just the other way around. I'm just like the people you described, even though I was just trying to play devil's advocate there. Many games on the PSP are ports of games that I actually didn't play, or are games that I want to play but couldn't find the right version of. For example, Tekken Dark Resurrection, which I don't want to get for the PSP because I want my big joystick to play Tekken. And Valkyrie Profile Lynith, which is basically a port, the original Valkyrie Profile, original art and all, but it's widescreen and it has extra movies and I think it has extra dungeons and things like that. But this actually turned me off from it, because I wanted the original game exactly how it was. So, I don't know. I wonder if that's just because I'm crazy and want to collect games.
Maybe.
I don't know, but it's...
You got more time for it now, so...
That's true. I should go buy a PSP instead of playing all these games on my roommates. So, I don't know. That's a point I'd like to see explored further in the future. It's something that doesn't get talked about much in the gaming press. I mean, I realize the more I get involved, being technically a member of gaming media, the less respect I have for them. Because I realize how prone I am to making silly mistakes, but we'll let that be aside for now. The final news article coming from Games Are Fun this week is that Ziff Davis is selling off their game group. Ziff Davis is responsible for such magazines as 1UP.com's network, which has Electronic Gaming Monthly and Games for Windows, and I believe Official PlayStation Magazine as well.
Hmm.
And they're just losing too much money. They made $9 million, lost $9.5
million. Ooh. Ouch.
So, I don't know what that means.
Not doing too good? I don't know.
I mean, I guess... I know their websites were having a lot of trouble, but... I mean, does this mean half of... Are they just going to be taken over by other media? Does this mean media as a whole is starting to become unprofitable? We make $0 on this show.
Yeah, we're non-profit all the way.
I just started showing up because Justin wanted me to. You're here for the same reason.
Pretty much.
No, Justin did because I did, because I was in town. And Justin wasn't here. It'd be fun to do a show behind his back. I don't think he actually knows we're recording this yet.
Really?
I mentioned offhand I might do it.
He'll find out soon.
He'll find out when I push it onto our webpage and he asks what the heck. So, I'd like to mention to all our listeners, too, Chad is our unofficial website maintenance guy. Though I have all the admin passwords and everything, Chad effectively acts as a copy editor and reads over each post in way more detail than I ever would have imagined someone who I communicate with over the internet would, and catches all of the mistakes that I make.
I don't really look too hard, it's just I'm reading it.
Oh, they're just that glaring?
You just need like a second person look at it. If you're reading it yourself, you know what it's supposed to say, so you don't think about mistakes. Somebody else read it, they're going to see, it's like, well, what do you mean? And they're going to see the mistakes.
That's true.
So
anyway, Chad's fixed probably at least, on the average, about one mistake for every post I've put up there. So big thanks to you, and all of you get to recognize his contributions now if you don't read the comments on our page. I presume you don't, because there's like three people who ever post there. Of course, I noticed that
two
works.
Two of them in this room.
Yeah, actually, that's true. I noticed that on a lot of sites, like Games Are Fun or anything but like the top five or six sites, there's generally something like some minuscule percentage of the listener/reader base actually interacts at all. Like Orange Lounge Radio, who's one of the biggest gaming podcasts, got 5 emails just the other week.
Hmm.
And it was Christmas break, but even still, people use the internet then. And Games Are Fun, which Justin is an editor for, so we're tied in with, is... They have probably... I had an unofficial count one time. I think I came out to about 25 people, but they have some... 1,000 number of unique hits every month. So, very small vocal minority of people who show up. So, I hope this means we have tons of listeners that are very quiet. I hope this, and I can think this, because I don't have any of the tools installed that tell me how many people are downloading the show.
Yeah, I know that if I didn't know you, like, when you were doing the show, I probably never would have listened or, like, send in emails or anything.
Yeah, so we're small time.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably, like, what is the same thing with a bunch of people who listen. Like, if I didn't know the people, I wouldn't be sending things in, probably.
That's probably true. So, however, we do try to provide a perspective that's, you know, based on people local in your area. Chad's from near Sacramento. I'm originally from there, now from San Luis Obispo. So, your guys from your town talk. It's a big talk show. And, you know, if you call in or you send us a recording of something, we'll probably play it. So, I always put that out there, but nobody ever really wants to.
Yes. And send emails. Pressstart@gmail.com.
That's the one. You can also get me at goat@thefighting.org, or you can get Chad if, I don't know, if you have an email address you want to toss out.
Sempaternity87@gmail.com. Good luck spelling it.
Sempaternity means continuing on to, well, eternity.
It's foreverness. Basically, it means forever enduring.
Yeah, so look it up if you don't know how to spell it.
Just look for a synonym of infinity.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, look it up in a thesaurus.
Yes, seriously.
Get that thesaurus that Gabe or Tycho uses from Penny Arcade. Spell out all of his big words. I swear that guy is playing up to his persona as a big word person by making extra sure that his posts are filled with vocabulary. It's great reading, but I think he honestly tries more now.
Yeah, I like just using like big words like for names, like screen names or character names. I like using the big words that mean something having to do with the game. Like, my name that I have for my email, I got it from City of Heroes. And originally, I just made, like, this ninja guy, and I had an affinity symbol that I used. So I went online to find thesaurus, went to thesaurus.com, typed in affinity to try to find something, like, different, nobody's heard of, found Sempaternal. So I used that, and I changed it to Sempaternity, and I got my name.
Well, that's cool. Seriously, there should be more of that.
Yes, big words are nice.
They are fun. And, you know, I bet, do they have a filtering effect in multiplayer? Like, people who don't know what it means, do they kind of steer clear of you?
No.
If you see things like Super Killer Sniper Man 77, you have a pretty good idea what that guy's all about.
I guess. I mean, with me, I get a bunch of people, like, a lot of people don't really want to spell out the whole name, so they either just use Semp or Sempe that I've noticed, add to it.
I see that on chat rooms a lot, where they just
shorten it up. Mm-hmm. But Semp is, I like Semp, I go by Semp, it works. Sempaternity, Semp, I don't know, whatever.
Sempity doo dah.
Yes.
Alright. Well, so, one of the, any astute listeners are going to recognize those telltale clicks, things like that. We're recording this on a really old microphone, because that's what we had. Yeah. So, we apologize if the audio quality is not up to the usual standards. KCBR has some pretty nice audio equipment, although they notably do not have a audio compressor for us to play with. But, we try to get by. So, apologies for that. If it's a big problem, send us a mic, or at least an email. Let us know about it, because that's something you guys really want to see fixed in future pirate radio episodes. I will be happy to see if I can't arrange that, if there's a demand for it. So, Chad, you're a big computer gamer.
Yes.
Because you always write in about things like Auto Assault and other games that neither Justin or I can play, because I have an old, practically busted PC with an old video card that doesn't play anything modern. It doesn't even play XNA, the Microsoft game design thing that I was going crazy about.
Can't get it to work.
I finally set it up, and I did a bunch of programming, compiling, and lo and behold, my video card is so old it's not even recognized by it.
That sucks.
It throws an error that says unusable device, or something equally depressing. So I'm sad.
Equivalent to the blue screen?
Basically, blue the programming screen, equivalent. Except it has a nice button you can click to get out of it.
That's always handy.
But so, I've noticed you've been using this service lately, the GameTap, which I've been kind of looking at for a while, but not in any detail, but considering all the raving about it I've heard from you, I'm thinking I might need to sign up.
Yeah, it's a pretty good service. I mean, it's basically right now it has 800 different games. Most of them are older games that you can get from different consoles. Not all PC games. They have Commodore 64 games, Neo Geo games.
No kidding?
Yes.
Wow.
So, 800 different games. And they also have GameTap TV, which they do interviews with some people in the gaming industry. They also do shows from Cartoon Network, as well as other anime shows on there. So it's pretty good.
Is the quality any good on those?
Yeah, the quality's pretty good.
Must kill your bandwidth.
I'm not sure. But one thing I have noticed with some of the shows, I don't know if it's true for all of them, but they're all in pieces. So you, like, watch one piece, it ends that piece, ends the clip, moves on to the next one. I've noticed sometimes it seems to cut pieces out. It could just be the show I was watching, but don't know. I have to check it out some more.
We should watch more TV for science.
Yes. You said you can't learn things from TV.
Oh, you can learn all sorts of things from TV. Just the other day, I learned that my TV was off. So I turned it on. It was a profound example of learning. I have a degree now. I can say things like this with authority. I take it back. I'll have it when CalPoly mails it to me. So, 800 games on this, though?
Yeah, and they add games pretty much every week.
So this is all... That's kind of like the Wii Virtual Console. But this is all... Well, I guess that's an emulator, too.
Mm-hmm.
So are these games... I mean, you're paying for games that everybody knows you could steal off the internet pretty easily. Though illegal, it's something everybody does because... Well, not everybody, but many people do.
People,
just because it's so easy to do. And some systems, like the Commodore 64, you pretty much can't buy anymore because all the people who have them are hobbyists or don't know what they are and leave them in garages. Sell me one. If you're one of those guys, sell me one of these things.
Dave is looking for one.
I'll give you monies. But... I'm presuming they have different hardware emulators running for each of those. Are they pretty bug-free? You're basically paying for an emulator, which is a formerly free
thing. Yeah, they're mostly bug-free. I have noticed one issue with an adventure game, Willy Beamish.
Oh, Willy Beamish,
yes.
Any of you guys who grew up in my neighborhood knew what that game was. Yes. That was probably our favorite communal game.
But the one thing I've noticed, it's like the only adventure game I've noticed that has this bug. It seems to... Sometimes it'll freeze, just completely freeze, and you have to exit out. And most of the time, in the game, you have a clock that you go by. And if you go past your bedtime in the game, or whatever, your mom sends you to military camp. So...
Harsh.
Yes, harsh. So if you... The clock sometimes runs fast in the game, because of the emulation, for whatever reason. So it'll run, like, 3 hours in, like, 2 seconds. So you run out of time fast.
I'm presuming you can't click fast enough to adjust.
That's another thing. The mouse actually moves slower, it seems.
Oh, now you just can't win.
Yeah, I mean, but it's... I've gotten to the second day. I've gotten past one day, but that's as far as I've gotten.
That game has 4 days in it?
I'm not sure. I haven't gotten that far in a while.
That's interesting, because that game... What was that?
We should turn that off.
Oh, somebody left Instant Messenger running. Okay, well, I'll let you take care of that. That's funny. So, Willy Beamish was, gosh, it had 4 days, I think it was. There was something significant I was about to say before that Instant Messenger noise messed me up. Clicky, clicky. Okay, we're done with that.
Edit.
Where were we?
4 days.
Willy Beamish, 4 days. Really hard. The mouse moves slow. You don't think they're emulating the mouse movement, do you?
I don't know.
The keyboard movement through the mouse?
I don't think you use the keyboard. Mm. No, you do use the keyboard, actually. But,
it's going to make that scene with the crazy babysitter really hard. The one that turns
into
a demon.
Oh, with the bat.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to suck it into into the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, spray it with hairspray, I think, and then suck it up. Yeah. I forgot about that. I hated that section.
That section was so hard.
Oh, man.
It gave me a nightmare when I was younger. Yeah, we've been playing games for a while. I do recall that Willy Beamish, if you have an original copy of it, does run natively under XP. It does have the clock problem, but not nearly so bad. At least I think that's how I ran it. I remember I finally loaded the game up and beat it, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah?
Jeez. Got past that section that stumped all of us as
yes,
kids.
Yes, there's
we didn't
one
have
section
the
in there that's almost impossible. It's been driving everybody crazy. Never finished it because of that.
Are there message boards about this?
I don't know. I haven't actually looked.
Hmm. We should check it out, because that game would sell me on the service. It's actually, that service costs about half as much as I thought it did.
Yeah, it's $6.95 if you do it annually.
Is that
what
it is?
It's $9.95 if you do it monthly. So, it's not that bad.
That's actually pretty good. That's about Xbox Live.
Yeah.
It's actually just about a dollar more than Xbox Live.
And it also has, you can do, like, the multiplayer games. You can do them online. It's a challenge mode.
Are these games that were originally multiplayer, or did they add multiplayer over the internet capabilities for normal console, like, two-player games?
Well, they have, like, Street Fighter games. You can do those on challenge mode.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, they have pretty much all the Street Fighter games, pretty sure.
That's crazy. Do they lag like crazy, like Xbox Live?
I haven't actually played any of them against anybody else. But, yeah, they have challenge mode. They also have leaderboards.
Oh,
so
good.
It's very similar to Xbox Live.
Where it keeps your friends list?
I don't know. I haven't actually tried it myself, so I don't know.
Okay. That, the deal for the non-Xbox Live-enabled folk out there. The leaderboards on Xbox Live are like walking into a community arcade where you have each game that has its, you know, high scores based on the people there. Now, when internet gaming started becoming a big deal on the internet, of course, you'd have leaderboards that went on the entire world, so only the top 15 or so people got any sort of recognition. Well, now it builds them off your friends list. So, you know, if I'm playing Chad, you know, we're both... Well, say we're both playing on our own. We're both playing Geometry Wars. Well,
I have played that.
If Chad trashes my score, I'm going to see it on my leaderboard, because he's going to be in number one. Then I'm going to cry, and I'm going to get all angsty, and it's going to start playing inspiring 80s music, and I'll finally beat him.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about me beating you. I'm not that great at the game.
Oh, you can practice up. Yeah. There are some people who are insane at that game. That game's crazy. I don't even know. So, wow. So, I might just have to try this out. I understand there's a trial thing going on right now.
Yeah, right now, I believe it's 99 cents for the first month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. You can get just 1 month, you can get for a dollar, then you pay the regular subscription after that. There's before that, which I currently have, I think I'm still on it for the next month, or this month anyway. It was you buy the first month and you get the next month free.
Okay.
So I think I'm still on that one. I'm not sure.
Now we're not really trying to be marketing for them. This is kind of a running joke. We can't talk about prices when we're actually on the air because that's KCPR station policy. But we can talk about them here, and we feel they're relevant. So if anybody wonders why it sounds like an ad, it's because all the relevant points about the service show up in the ads. So sorry about that.
Yes, we apologize.
But that's just kind of how it goes. So that's cool. Oh, I wanted to ask you about the Sam & Max game. I understand they're releasing that through GameTap.
Yes, they are. It's an episodic game this time around.
Like, first off, for those who haven't heard, new Sam & Max game.
Yes.
Holy crud.
If you haven't played the first one, play it.
It's made by Telltale Games, who did the Bone game. That actually didn't do too well, but apparently had a lot of solid programming and design behind it.
I sort of liked it. It seems like it's also episodic, so you have different pieces of the game to fill the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
I've played the first two. It's pretty interesting, but I don't know.
It seemed like everybody had high hopes for the company.
Yeah, because they're bringing like adventure games back. I mean, adventure games have kind of been away for a while. They've sort of been around, but like the old point-and-click inventory adventure games, not so much.
Yeah, those are gone. We all have the missed clones or the clever metagames like Missing or the new Missing game, where it's kind of like, oh, this is reality, but it involves this game.
So I'm glad to see that they brought back the inventory and you can like put things together, like two things together, like a ramrod and a hand or skull, whatever. Monkey Island.
A skullo hand rod.
Curse of Monkey Island. Get the ramrod and the hook. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh, I don't even remember that section.
In the very beginning.
Oh, is that where you pick the skull?
Yes.
Out? Ha, Murray. Murray.
Murray's great.
Murray is great. We were making Murray jokes last night, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
So, new Sam & Max is out from Telltale. I'd actually really like to play this.
Yeah, they have two episodes out right now on GameTap, and you don't have to pay anything extra for any of these games. You just have the subscription fee, and that's it. Download the games to computer. Has some kind of description so you can't actually play it without the GameTap service.
But almost a killer app for GameTap.
It's pretty good.
Wow. I'm kind of astounded. I think killer apps are becoming more and more important. After the iPod, everybody decided they had to have some killer app thing that turned people into billboards. Like the DS had a million things going for it. New Super Mario Brothers and Brain Age sold a whole bunch.
Yes, I have both of those. Very good games.
PSP and PS3, not so much yet. Each of those systems seems to have a number of solid games on it, but until Metal Gear comes out.
Think everybody's waiting for that one?
That's everybody seems to be.
Yeah. Making sure they can get their copy of a console in anticipation of that game.
That game won't be out for a year. They're going to wait till the console prices drop. I don't know. Actually, I kind of want to get a PS3. So, you know, I heard one guy talking about a really good reason to get a PS3. It is a home entertainment center.
Yeah.
It is a video game system. It doesn't have a ton of games anybody wants right now. They're not bad games. They're just not different enough from the current offerings out there to make people jump to that machine, which is why Metal Gear would be good for Sony. But this guy is a physics major going into grad school in physics. He's brilliant. And he's a very clever fellow. He's also a Linux programmer. PS3 ships with Linux, and he was thinking he could do all of his crazy physics calculations on a very powerful $600 console. I was thinking, they should target that market. University students formerly on a budget. I want to think about that. If I were a programmer, I think I might just have to grab one. So yeah, killer apps. What do we have for everything? We have Gears of War on the 360. We have, right now I think it's Final Fantasy III on the DS. Maybe still the brain games. The PSP, for me, is probably Valkyrie Profile.
What about PS2?
PS2 is Guitar Hero.
Still?
Guitar Hero and Final Fantasy XII are selling machines.
Yes. I'm about 14 hours into Final Fantasy XII, I think.
Oh, are you playing that one?
Yep.
What do you think of it? Did you agree with Justin that it was this astounding, maybe best PS2 game?
It's pretty good, yeah. I like the video. I remember he commented on the video, the opening video.
Mm-hmm.
That intro is pretty good.
Really?
Yes.
I still haven't played this game.
It's at least 10 minutes long, I think, the video.
Wow.
Something like that.
I used to tell people you needed a half an hour to even begin playing a Final Fantasy game. I wonder if you need more now.
I don't know. I do know there's like a section before you actually play the main character, so you play it through that section first.
Huh.
But it's part of the backstory, I guess, to actually what goes on in the main part.
Oh, very cool. Just the number of people I've seen play this game and then subsequently want to buy it is astoundingly high. Like Guitar Hero levels.
Yeah, I like how they changed the battle system in this. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't like it at first. Just like
did you play the demo?
I have not played the demo.
Okay, because everybody hated it when they played the demo.
Okay.
By everybody, I mean many people that I talked to.
I have heard about what the demo did, though. Like, you had two different areas it played in, and one would do active mode, and one would do, like, wait mode.
That's right.
And, so in, like, wait mode, you would each get your turn, basically, like an original, like, Final Fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
And in active mode, everybody goes whenever they can.
Kind of like an MMO.
Yes.
Oh.
And, I kind of like that. I didn't think it would be all that great at first, but I started playing it like that, and it's not that hard. It's a lot easier than I thought. They have gambits in this game. So gambits, basically, you can tell your different characters, the ones you're not controlling, what to do in certain situations.
Is it like controlling the AI?
Yes. So cool. You can tell it to do, like, if an ally gets their health down below 40%, you can have that character heal them with a specific heal ability or with an item.
Is there a lot of strategy there?
There is a bit of strategy, because if you... It's all prioritized. So if you have, like, fighting at the top and healing underneath that, it's going to keep attacking before it heals somebody else, so that other person could die.
I see.
So if you put it on top, it'll heal the person first before it starts attacking again.
Do they have any joke gambits? Things like flail your arms like a chicken?
Not run that around I've noticed. In circles? Not that I've noticed, no.
They should have moves where you can cast those on other people. Like, Xenosaga 3 had a... You know, nobody played that game except for the few people who played Xenosaga 2 and still liked it. But they had a system in there where you would... Well, some of the spells you cast would basically mess with the enemy AI. Just like that. I always thought there would be fun stuff you could do. Especially with the MMO environment. It's like people running around in WoW typing slash train and doing that little train arm woo-woo thing. I see you know the one I'm talking about.
Yes.
So
good stuff.
Final Fantasy's good. Sounds like GameTap's pretty good. All the consoles out on the system, are on the market now, are pretty good. The last thing we have to talk about this week on our first edition of Pirate Radio is Uru.
Uru,
the
yes.
Previously online, then offline because it was cancelled. Then I don't know what it is now, some undead online version of this. Now, what's going on with this?
Originally, for those of you who don't know, Uru is basically a Myst game. If you've ever heard of Myst, it's...
Yeah, we've heard of Myst.
Yeah, well, for those who haven't, it's a photorealistic game, adventure game, where you go through and you link to different ages through books. In Uru, it's... They've uncovered the civilization that wrote these books, and it's, like, under the Earth's crust in some giant cavern. So they have a story of these people called the DRC, which is the Dene Restoration Council. The Dene is the name of the civilization. And they went into this cavern, and they're rebuilding it, basically, and making it available to the public. So what you do as the character is you can go down there, you can explore the areas, you can read all the journals that have been left by the DRC people. And what they had 2 years ago, which is when this originally came out, when it was in its beta, they called it Prologue. And what you could do is you could go to this neighborhood kind of area where you could meet and gather. It's kind of a gathering point for different players online.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also go and bring other people to your ages. And so you could all be in one age, one person's age at the same time, help each other out in that age, that kind of stuff. And
like multiplayer puzzle solving?
Yes.
How would that work? Because people just put solutions on the internet.
Right, I know, but sometimes it's hard to follow, like, written solutions. So if you have somebody there that shows you, like, how it's done, or they can do it for you if you really want them to, they can just go in there and do it for you, and it saves your age.
It would seem like it would mess with the challenge, but I wonder about that.
And well, there are some things. There are some things that are very beneficial. Before this game got canceled due to lack of subscription base, which was the original reason, got lack of funding. Mm-hmm. One of the ages had this giant wall, and this wall, it was used by a maintainer's guild, which was one of the guilds in this game, in the civilization that is, where it was a training wall. It was this giant wall. They would have this bio suit basically. And they would have two teams, one on either side of the wall, and each team would set up a set of invisible walls on this wall, because you would climb up it, and you'd run into these walls that you couldn't go through, so you have to find different paths. Mm. So each team would set up these barriers for the other team, and they would apparently have it all, like, different hazardous materials to test the suits and stuff. That was the whole story of it. And what they did before, like shortly before it got shut down, was they brought that back, made it available so you could actually play it. You could get two teams together, set up this path, have one person go and try to get through before the other person gets to the top.
Oh, hmm.
But unfortunately, it didn't quite work right. So one side of the wall wouldn't work at all. You couldn't, nothing would show up on there. The other side, it worked fine, but you couldn't get a person in there.
These were just bugs, right?
Yes, they were bugs. The whole thing, I mean, it was still a beta, so there were plenty of bugs. And they call it Prologue. But, so it got shut down. About 2 years later, they got reopened through GameTap. Good old GameTap.
No kidding.
GameTap is great.
I heard the guy who runs that is supposed to be really friendly. A lot of people like him, but that's just a rumor. I don't have any real basis for that. I should call him up and find out.
Actually, you can go into the game and get a chance to see him.
Oh, really?
Yes. They get their actual, like, staff people in there. They play different roles. So they put their character in there. You can talk to them. Ask them, like, when things are going to get opened up. Because they have barriers. Like, there's a city part that you go to. Mm-hmm. And they put barriers up where they don't want you to go because they're still fixing bugs and stuff.
Are they Anachronox-style barriers?
They're actually barriers that you'd use on, like, streets. They're actual little barriers you would see. You can't jump over them.
Oh, right. Well, like, so in Anachronox, they had one of those there for no reason. And the way they explained it is they said, a guy's lit himself on fire. And we're not letting anybody through.
Well, they had a reason.
Okay. And he runs by.
The reasons they would say is, like, oh, it may not be safe if you're going to go past it by jumping over it in various different ways because the cones, you can set the cones next to it, jump on those, and jump over the barrier. They're basically saying it's not 100% safe. We're not releasing it to the general public officially. But if you go back there, it's your own risk. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
That's the story for it.
So you can go into a beta area, but it just might mess with you?
Well, sort of. I mean, it's still... Because in the original Prologue, before they all got shut down, they had most of the city open. So you could do all that stuff. And then going back, it's pretty much all blocked off. But you can still get in there, and they have all the code and stuff for it. There's probably just some minor glitches, and they just don't want to open things yet, because it's part of the story, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, I think this past week, they opened up... one part of the city, and they're going to be releasing a new age, I believe, this coming week, as well as opening up some other piece. I don't remember what it was now, though.
So this is like an MMO that doesn't have any stats.
Yes. Basically, all you do is you... It's basically just an adventure game that you can interact with other people, and you can interact with the characters in the story.
So in one, if you solve the mystery, do you all solve it? I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around how this
right,
works.
Right, yeah, it's confusing. There is a single-player story-driven game where you go to different ages and stuff. It was, like, between the two online portions, they had it shut down. They had just the single version release, single-player version. So that's still in the game. You can do all that stuff, and you get a pretty good story behind it. And then if you want to, you can go into the city, and there's more stuff to do there that you can't do... offline in the original game, I presume. And they're going to be adding content. That's another thing. With the online, they can add land. They can add different ages. They can open up more pieces of the city.
That's the nice part about Myst is ages are, like, modular.
Yes. The ages are really cool, too. They have these different, like... There's one age where it's a bunch of mushrooms. It's, like, all water and these mushrooms, and they It's weird. You have to actually play to see it.
Okay, well, maybe I will. My computer can run it.
Yes, just get GameTap. You can download the Uru game. Doesn't cost anything extra. Just the subscription to GameTap, that's all you need. And you play it. You can play the single player. You can go online. Doesn't matter.
I should get a review for this and surprise Justin with it. Of course, he'll probably listen to this show, so nothing's a secret now.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Well, so Uru is... It sounds like something nobody's ever really done before, at least correctly.
Right. Kind of, yeah.
It remains to be seen where this will go. I am honestly interested.
Yeah, hopefully they can get the user base this time, the subscription base.
Well, show. Sign right up. Join the base.
They actually do have a separate link. I don't remember what the address is, but there's a link to sign up to GameTap that lets the people at GameTap know you're signing up for Uru.
Really?
Yes. So they get... it's basically a way of letting GameTap know that people want to play Uru, and to help increase the funding for Uru.
Gives them an idea of what's going to happen. They can get fun. Oh, wow.
So I don't remember what the link is for that, but I'm sure you can find it. Just go to Uru Obsessions is a good board, uruobsessions.com. By the way, Uru is spelled U-R-U.
Yeah, it's three letters long.
Yes. And that's actually part of what they use for the game, U-R-U. Could you make your own avatar?
Whoa,
yes,
that's
us. Yes.
What the heck?
I didn't notice that
until
somebody
pointed
that out.
It's like when the Wii came out, they're like, what is Wii? Well, Wii is us. It's also two people.
So,
it also means two, because that's what two eyes is. Like, multiple meanings.
You can make your avatar. You have a character design. It's pretty good. It doesn't have a whole lot of features, but it's got quite a few. So you can make a few different... You can make it look like yourself. Pretty close.
I'm not going to be able to see URU. Like Uru written without thinking of like cell phone text speak.
Yeah.
URU LOLs.
Yeah, so I mean it's a lot of people try to do that. They try to use real names sometimes. I remember there's one guy, there's also voices. You can use a microphone in this game.
What?
Yes.
Is it gonna be better than this one?
Yes, hopefully better than this one.
This one's getting the job done.
Yeah. But basically like if you are in the city with a bunch of other people or anywhere where there's other people, if somebody wants to talk, they hold down tab to let the game know that they're going to be using the microphone. When you hold down tab, your character starts moving around like he's talking, and you hear the voice coming out of him.
Hmm.
Now, the voice has a range. So if you're too far away, you're not going to be able to hear it like in real life. If you're too far away from someone, you can't hear him. Same thing in the game.
Interesting.
And you get... Go ahead.
No, that's all.
Okay.
That's interesting. I'm curious if they can pull that off. In first-person shooters, that doesn't work, because people get too far away and it drops off too quick.
Well, see, this whole thing isn't about, like, tactics or anything. It's just, like, it's kind of like text writing, typing on the computer with a keyboard. But it's going to be in the general area, and you can hear it. You don't have to look and read something. So if you get two people together, they just talk to each other instead of having to type things out, because that takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit easier. It's kind of cool to be able to hear other people talking to. So... I like
that's
it.
Interesting. You don't get anybody trying to ruin it by blasting music or something.
Actually, I think it's 8-bit audio or something like that, so it's not all that great to do music.
So they're
going to
blast terrible music?
Yes. Somebody has tried it,
Man. That used to happen in old chat rooms.
He didn't do it for very long because they go, it's not all that great, I guess. So, yeah, that stopped pretty quick.
I mean, at least the people are self-policing to a point. I can't imagine Uru is going to attract the sort of hardcore griefer who wants to mess up everybody else's game.
Yeah.
I don't see that kind of person taking the time to install a missed game.
It's pretty interesting. Like, having all the people there, they always help each other. Nobody's, like, fighting or anything. It's always, like, a good society of people, I guess.
Interesting. I wonder if that'll stay up.
Hopefully. Because right now it's pretty cool.
Alright. Also, Uru, boys and girls, check it out. That about does it for our... assuming... We were done. I figured you were finished.
If you want to go check out Uru, their webpage is urulive.com. There's also drcsite.org if you want to look at that.
DRC site?
Yes.
S-I-T-E?
Yes.
Okay.
Although it hasn't quite been updated in like 2 years. No, it's been updated in 2006, like May.
Their webmaster's stuck in one of the books.
Yes.
That's a missed joke, boys and girls.
But it hasn't been updated since like May of 2006 for whatever reason. But it basically is the DRC, as I said before, is the Dania Restoration Council, so it's kind of the story side of the game.
Oh, like an alternate reality sort of game?
I mean, it's kind of like, there's four members of the DRC that go into the game that you see sometimes, and you can talk to them, and they're always in character. If you ask them, like, when are you going to make this available online? They say, well, what do you mean online? What the heck are you talking about?
And oh, was,
yeah, that kind
like
of
the,
stuff.
Like the people at Renaissance fairs who don't know what cameras are?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So it's like, oh, yeah, we have these barriers up. We're going to be taking those away soon, so that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all in character for them. It's kind of cool.
No, they don't break the fourth wall. All right. Sweet.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's Ubu.
Well, so we went a little bit longer than we actually thought we were, but that's A-okay. I hope you guys enjoyed this first edition of Press Start's Pirate Radio. Originally so named because I was going to do it without telling Justin about it and stick it up on his web space. But now we sort of kept the name, and we're just going to run with it.
And don't forget to email the show, pressstart@kcpr@gmail.com.
That's right. So, have a good one. Any final thoughts, Chad?
I think we covered everything.
Okay.
At least this show.
I have none, too. I am hoping I sent an email off to the Orange Lounge Radio people, seeing if they wanted to say hi, because I understand they're up in the area. So, my final thought is, and I stole that section from them, I hope they call back. Take care, Internet. Have a good night.